try and tell you a little bit about myself. I might be here, there and everywhere, but I'll try. Where shall I start? I'll start back in the 80s, dear. Glow sticks and dodgy leg warmers at a rave. The 80s, where I first started living the life of raving and ecstasy and football hooliganism and stuff. And already I've gone blank. That's where it really all started for me, going into the rave scene and trying ecstasy and all that. And at the time, I thought it was the best thing since sliced bread. It was me. It was my way of hiding from the whole world and all that, which I thought was really horrible. And because outside of the clubs, what I'd do on a Saturday, I'd go and I'd be a hooligan, which I didn't like, but it was part of me and part of my life. And as the years went on through the 80s, and I got more and more into the rave scene, and I helped started a lot of older raves around the M25 and everything, and I thought it was the best thing. I had loads of money. I ended up being a dealer and everything, which I thought was the best thing since sliced bread. I had money, I'd travel all over the place, holidays and everything, but what I didn't have was my own self-respect. I had nothing. I was so lonely inside. When I say lonely, I don't mean there was no one around. I'd be in the middle of a nightclub, or I'd be in a football stadium full of 50,000 people, and I'd feel alone, completely alone. And that hurt, and that hurt for many, many years. And then after the 80s, and come the 90s, I got married in 92, which was great to start with. And going to skip past that bit. And then ended up getting divorced in 94. And then that's when my troubles really, really started. I had a nervous breakdown, tried to kill myself twice. And this life just wasn't worth living. But I dragged myself up, and that's when my drug and my drink got really, really bad. I was still dealing to help me go through and to serve my addiction. Even though I worked all through, right up until 2010, I worked, but all the drugs I was taking and everything, I needed to deal, and I thought I was Big Charlie Potato, but I wasn't. I was still alone. I lost all my friends in the 90s because all I wanted to do is do what Scotty wanted. I was so selfish, it was unbelievable. And I robbed and stole off everybody that I knew to get money for my drugs and my drink. And then through the 90s, like I said, I just started losing friends all the time. And it was horrible. And then I started to take harder drugs, and I got to a stage where I was every day for the last, 15 years at work, I was completely off my nut. I moved to Spain to get over my dad's death, but that wasn't going to happen because I just got worse and worse. My drug habit, my drinking, my lying and everything. I was just, it was all about Scotty, what Scotty wanted, all the way. And then I come back from Spain, completely lost and everything. My family at the time when I come back didn't want to know because of the person that I turned into. And just everything was going, getting worse and worse. And my life was just down there. And in the end, come to 2010, when my life just hit complete rock bottom then. I ended up in hospital. I can remember the date. It was November the 10th, 2010. try to kill myself for the third time in a week. But my brother came and saw me in hospital, and I had 125 self-harm marks all over my body, my legs, my arms, everywhere. Well, everywhere you couldn't see it, because it was this, it wasn't for attention, it was this relief mechanism. And my brother walked in, and in 40 years I've never seen him cry, and he just broke down and just said, what the hell have you done to yourself? My mum walked in, that was a face that I will want to forget for the rest of my life, but I can't, because it is this pure shock and horrified, and she started blaming herself for me, but it wasn't. It was all down to me, because I was selfish, I was lonely, and I didn't have no purpose in life. And so then I ended up in a mental hospital for 6 months, which was the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody. I still got friends to bring me my drugs and everything, so I was on heavy medication plus my own medication and drink. And again, I tried a couple of times in the hospital to kill myself, because I just didn't want to live anymore. I didn't want my family to see what I'd become. Then I finally got into rehab, where there was a glimmer of hope, not a lot. There was a glimmer. But for 3 years previous, every time I looked in the mirror, I didn't see me. I saw a completely different person, and it just wasn't me in the mirror. And waking up in the morning or walking past the mirror and seeing the mirror, when you're not seeing yourself, it's horrible, it's hard. And it was about 4 or 5 months in rehab, I think it was more 4 months, that I woke up one morning and I looked in the mirror, and the first thing I done was cry my eyes out, because I saw me. And then that was the first time I saw a bit of hope, a bit of glimmer. And so I got through there, and it was really, really hard. But then I finally left rehab, getting a bit of sense of self-worth and all that. But the loneliness was still there, and the grief and everything, and what I put my family through, especially my mum, who I loved more than anything, but I hurt her the most, and that hurt me the most. But again, I was a selfish addict and alcoholic. But while I was in rehab, my relationship with my mum started to grow, and my brothers. And then I ended up coming to Andrew House, which was, to me, the biggest step so far. And it was an absolute godsend that I was there. And then one day, Jared said to me, "Scotty, I want to take you to church." I thought he was off his rocker. And I said, "Right, okay." But when I did walk into this place for the first time, it was hard to take it all in. And then when I sat down, and then I started to see people waving flags with their hands in the air, and then Jill and Steve got up and danced, and I thought, "You bloody nutters." Absolute nutters. And but the first time I was in here, nothing happened. And I was telling Charles and Joyce this. Second week I come in, and who knows me knows that me and God never just met, we collided. But do you know what? I knew it was God as soon as I collided with him, because that instant, the loneliness went. And there was nothing on this, no one on this world, earth, that could have helped me, no one. But when I collided with God, I knew there was something different, because the loneliness went. Now, if anyone knows what that means, and then when it goes, it's fantastic, because your life, this takes on a complete new meaning. And then the next thing that happened with me was the hardest thing that I've ever, ever had to cope with, which was the, which was the death of my mum, who finally got to... she finally got to see me clean and sober. And I want to go back a little bit. The Monday before my mum had an aneurysm and went into hospital and into a coma for the 6 weeks that I spent with her, I woke up, I was in London visiting my family, and I just woke up one morning, and without even thinking about it or anything, I just phoned my mum up and I said, look, I've got to meet you. And we met up, and she, as soon as she sat down, I asked her to forgive me and asked her to understand what happened, and I just wanted her forgiveness, and I said sorry. But she was so glad that she got me back. She didn't want a sorry. She didn't want a forgiveness or anything, because she forgave me already. And that was the strongest thing that ever happened to me. But then after mum died, I got really annoyed, and I'd started blaming God for everything, and it's your fault. Why get me clean and sober just to take the most important thing in the world away from me? And so I got really angry. But then all of a sudden I realised, well, hold on. Who organised that Monday with my mum? Who organised the words for me to say? It was God. And I truly, truly believe that. And it was, he helped me get through the worst time of my life. And the prayers and everything from everybody here were completely amazing. And it helped me. For the last week of my mum in hospital, I stayed overnight every night. And every night I jumped into bed with my mum and gave her a hug, and I laid there with her. And it gave me time to explain to her how much I loved her and how much my life has changed. It may be 120 miles from London to here, but I've travelled a million, believe me. And I've travelled, and it took me a long time. So I got through that, through the love of God and everybody in this church that prayed for me and there for me, and it was great. And then I'll fast forward a couple of years, and Sue asked me to do her party a few years ago, and because she heard that I was a chef and everything. And throughout everything in my life, there was only one thing that I was ever really good at, and that was cooking. And it's always been a passion of mine, always, and I love to do what I do. But Sue gave me this opportunity. And so I did it with help through Katrina, who helped me through everything in the last couple of years to get to where I am today. I wouldn't have coped or done it without Katrina's help. And she must have been going to kill me afterwards for mentioning that. But I just wanted to mention that, because I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Katrina and Paul, who have helped me. And that Andy's helped me so much as well, helped me with my business. Susie and Ben and that have been there for me, and they're helping me. But because I've got God in my life today, I'm up here. Because if everyone knows, I absolutely hate what I'm doing now. I really do it, and I'm going to cut it short on a sec. But what I wanted to say to people is, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And I had no hope, no nothing in my life. Everything was gone. But you know what? The day me and God collided changed my life forever. I'm not selfish anymore. The greatest gift he's given me is giving. I love helping out everybody, and I don't want nothing in return. And I think I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Colin.
Oh, I forgot. After all that and getting through it, what's actually happened is from roughly about now, I've just started up my own business. And of all the days I forgot to bring my cards was today. And useless. What a way to start. But I just want to show to everybody that dreams can come true. I dreamt about this when I was 12, 13 years old. I've always known that I wanted to be a chef and everything. But to start my own business, again, only God could have helped me, and he did. Thanks.